May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the coming King. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 1. Please join me in prayer. Oh, gracious Lord, plant the seed of your word deep in our hearts this day, and may it bear abundant fruit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Poor Joseph. I don't know about you, but I've always kind of felt sorry for Joseph. Who's felt sorry for Joseph? Nobody, just me. You know, in the Christmas story, Mary gets lots of attention. I mean, every little girl loves Mary, wants to be Mary. We all love the angels. I mean, the heavenly hosts with the white robes, the halo. We love to sing glory to God in the highest with the angels. The shepherds are endearing, aren't they? As they run and worship Jesus and spread the word, every little boy wants to be a shepherd. The wise men we admire, they travel from afar and bring their gifts. Wow. Lots of attention for Mary, the angels, the wise men, the shepherds. But then there's poor Joseph. He never seems to really get a lot of attention in the Christmas story. But today's gospel lesson from Matthew 1 concerns Joseph. And this gospel lesson changes Joseph's life. I want to specifically talk about the dream given to Joseph. You know, Christmas is a time of dreams, isn't it? Bing Crosby, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I know some of us went, myself included and Ann, went to the show The White Christmas down at the Tennessee Theater last night. Not a bad show. And I'll be home for Christmas if only in my dream. And it's a time we're supposed to take a nap and have visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads. I always change that to sugar cookies, not sugar plums. That's okay. But we're to dream and wish. This is the dream of dreams. This is the real Christmas dream. Right here given to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It's short, it's simple, straightforward. It is the Christmas dream. Let me say three things about it. This dream is to be trusted. This dream will cause trouble. And this dream is absolutely, positively true. First of all, this dream calls Joseph, it calls you and I to trust, to believe the Word of God, even though the Word of God is unreasonable at times. It's illogical. We are to trust the Word of God because it's the Word of God and we can trust Him, we can trust all that He says. And we are to trust and believe even though we don't see. It's very unreasonable that a virgin be with child. That normally doesn't happen, right? Joseph's told to believe it. Mary's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She's still a virgin. And it's very unreasonable to think for Joseph that his son, Mary's son, is going to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Why Mary? Why me, a carpenter? Why us? Very unreasonable. Yeah, he's told to believe, and Joseph doesn't see. He has no evidence. I really believe it was the most difficult for Joseph to believe of all the people in the Christmas story. We love Mary, and rightly so, but it was easy for Mary to believe. Mary had an angel, Gabriel, come to her and tell her the good news. And then Mary knew that she had not had relations with another man. She knew that in her own heart, right? Mary knew that. She had had no sexual relations. Joseph didn't know that. He had to go by the word of Mary and the word of God. He didn't know that. Mary knew. And when the baby was growing in Mary, Mary knew she was pregnant. She felt the baby. She knew she was pregnant. She had evidence that indeed God was working. She knew. The shepherds, they have a whole heavenly host appear to them and tell them that the Savior has been born. That's pretty easy to believe, a whole heavenly host, I would think. Angels. And the wise men have a star. And that star takes them right over Bethlehem where he's born. Can't get a lot easier than that. They have something tangible, something they can see. Then there's Joseph. What does he have to go by? Just the Word of God in a dream. And yet Joseph believes. We don't credit Joseph. We credit the power of the Word of God. God can give His Word, His simple, straightforward, unreasonable, illogical Word. He can give that to a man while he sleeps. And yet He can cause the man to believe it. Now that is not encouraging you to sleep today, okay? Don't sleep. But even while a guy's sleeping, the Word of God can give him faith. How much more us who are not asleep, hopefully, the Word of God can give us faith. You know, we are called on by God to believe some very unreasonable things too, without any evidence really. We are told to believe that our sins are forgiven, all of them. We keep sinning and we keep sinning and we sin and sin some more, and yet we believe that God forgives and God forgives, not because we see it or feel it, because God's Word says so. That's why we believe it. And we are told by God's Word that He loves us. He'll work all things for our good. Evil, cancer, suffering, war. He's ever working. He loves us. And we are to believe that, and we do believe it. Not because we see it all out there, but because God's Word says so. I believe it, even though I don't see it. We are told to believe in eternal life and the resurrection of our bodies, eternal glory. And we believe that, don't we? I believe I'm going to live forever and rise from the grave in glory. Yet, I don't see dead people walking around. I don't see glory around everywhere, do I? See some candles and some lights. It's all nice. But where's the glory? Where's the risen bodies? Where's it all? I don't see it all. Yet, I believe it. Why? Because the Word of God says so. And I can trust the Word of God. Trust, even though you don't see. That's Joseph. He's a lot like you and I. You know, Knox County was out of school a few days this past week. And I know the kids were very sad, right? And Tom would come to me and say, "Dad, Knox County's out of school. I'm so sad I don't get to go to school tomorrow." Did I believe Tom? He's about 50% for Dad to believe his word. Then Dear Abby comes. "Dad, we're out of school. Knox County's out." Did I believe Abby? It's risen to 75%. And then my dear wife comes. Ann comes. "First Lutheran's out. Knox County, it's really true. We're all out." Do I still believe it? It's about 93%. Ann might be off 10% of the time. Basically perfect, though. All right, truly perfect, Ann. I'm sorry about that. Still get my Christmas gift. But in that sort of a circumstance, all right, kids tell me, wife tells me, "Well, what do I want? I want evidence. I run to the TV set. I want to see it scroll across the bottom. Knox County and not Knox County, Kentucky." Now, that's a real teaser. But Knox County closed, not 2 hours late. I want to see it scroll by at least 3 times. Then I got to turn the station and go to channel 6 and 8 and everywhere else and find it. Oh, we're out. I've seen it numerous times. We're out. Seeing is believing. We are skeptical. And rightly so. Never be skeptical about the Word of God. The Word of God says we're forgiven, we're saved, and redeemed. Believe it. It's true. Secondly, this dream would cause Joseph and can cause you and I great trouble. He is told to take Mary as his wife. He wants to put her away quietly and not shame her. Mary deserves to be stoned. She's pregnant outside of wedlock. Old Testament law says she gets stoned, or certainly publicly embarrassed and ostracized and excommunicated from the temple and synagogue worship. "You're out, Mary." Make it public. Look down on her, gossip and all that about her, slander her. That's what Mary deserves. And now Joseph has a choice. Am I going to stay with her or am I going to leave? He wants to leave, but he believes the Word of God that she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. A Savior is coming from her. This will cause him great trouble. This dream, in a way, is a nightmare for Joseph's life. We should not think this is a nice, happy ending. Well, it is in heaven, but at this point, it's not real happy. We can only imagine what happens to Joseph and Mary as people find out that she is pregnant outside of wedlock. They would accuse them both of adultery, right? Fornication. Again, excommunication. All the rumors of that day. All the evil looks of that day. Threatening to stone Mary and Joseph too because he stayed with her. He should get rid of her. And they'd probably be accused of blasphemy. Because I assume Joseph and Mary told people, "Look, she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit." Now, I'm sure that worked real well, didn't it? She's not pregnant by Joseph. She's not pregnant by another man. The Holy Spirit made her pregnant. I'm sure all the people believe that one, right? They accused him of blasphemy. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You blaspheme God saying that. How dare you say that? You're not only, you only commit adultery, but now blasphemy. Kill him, stone him. Only imagine the suffering and persecution the Word of God causes this couple. And Joseph's job as husband is to protect her. He would defend her. He would protect his dear wife from all that. He would take it upon himself in her place. And so, dear friend, when we believe the Word of God, it's not always so easy. When we believe the Word of God, we may be ostracized, told to keep our faith quiet at work. Get the Bible off your desk. Don't talk about Jesus here. Why do you go to that silly church you go to? Why do you believe all that stuff? We too may be persecuted. And Lord knows there's many Christians throughout the world that suffer heavy persecution and bear a heavier cross than you and I for the sake of the Word of God. Did you see the new sign for Chick-fil-A on I-40, the Christmas sign? You know, I do watch the road when I drive, but sometimes I watch the signs too. I don't text. But the new sign for Chick-fil-A, it has the cows up there painting the sign, of course, and it says, better watch out, better not do what? Better not eat burgers. All right? In other words, eat chicken. But it's cute, and it reminds me of how nobody wants to sacrifice. Cows don't want to sacrifice. And if the chicken can speak, the chicken doesn't want to sacrifice either. And both the chickens and the cows will point to the pig and say, you sacrifice pig. They can eat pork for Christmas. Nobody wants to sacrifice. I don't want to die for anybody. I don't want to give up anything. Praise be to God, He made the sacrifice of His own Son. And Jesus asked you and I as followers, you too will sacrifice. You are to be a living sacrifice. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Bear every burden for the sake of the gospel. Suffer even death for the sake of Jesus. The dream is to be trusted. The dream causes trouble. And last of all, most important of all, this dream is absolutely, positively true. It's a dream that comes true. It's not a fairy tale. It's not wishful thinking. It's the truth. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. It all happened. It's true. He rose again on the third day. He ascended on high, sits at God's right hand, will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. It's all true. There's forgiveness and salvation in the name of Jesus. It's all true. Believe it. A lot of you have dreams for this Christmas, don't you? You have your Christmas wish. You may dream for the end of war, that all our men and women can come back home, may war end, and there be peace on earth. Or you may dream for peace in your family, peace in your marriage, peace with your children. When all the family gets back together, oh, I hope it's peace, and we get along with the in-laws, and we all get along together, we all love each other. Maybe you're dreading the family reunion, I don't know. Maybe we dream for a better job. We dream for better health. I sure hope I get better in the new year. I hope the cancer goes away. It goes in remission. I hope I get better. My loved one gets better. I sure hope that I dream for that. I wish that. If you're a kid, you simply might dream for a toy or a video game or something. I'm here to tell you. Someone needs to tell you. And I'll tell you, a lot of those dreams probably won't come true. Let's just play it straight. A lot of your wishes and dreams won't come true. Come December 26th or January 1, there'll still be war in the earth. And our men and women will still be fighting. And people will be getting killed. Count on it. And who knows, in your family it may not get better either. Your marriage may get worse. Your family relations may get worse. It might happen because we sin. And you're a sinner too, and so am I. And you may not get that better job. And the cancer may get worse and you might die here in a month or two or 6 months. It may happen. You may contract a disease yourself. That's life in a sinful world as sinful people. But Christian, don't be afraid. Don't fret. Don't cry. For the greatest dream has come true. We have peace with God. Our sins are washed away. We are His baptized children. We eat His body and drink His blood. We have eternal life. We will rise from the grave. The greatest dream of dreams, eternal glory, is ours in Christ. It's all true. Believe it. No fairy tale. It's the truth. May that be your rock and your refuge through all things in life. I saw a week or two ago where they set a world record for the number of Santa Clauses in one spot. Why they do this kind of nonsense, I have no idea. But the TV reported there were over 19,000 Santas in one location all over the streets in some city over in Europe, somewhere. I guess last year there were 14,000, this year 19,000, next year 20-some thousand, I'm sure, all gathered in one spot. But guess what, kids? The Santas didn't have a big black bag with any toys. And there were no reindeer, no sleighs, a bunch of empty-handed Santa Clauses. How's that sound, kids? Santa with no black bag, no Rudolph, no sleigh, no reindeer. What could he do for you? He's empty-handed. 19,000 of them can't do anything for you. How many saviors do we have, kids? How many saviors do we have? 19,000? 14,000. How many do we have? One. Is he empty-handed today? He never comes empty-handed. He never comes empty-handed. He doesn't just show up one time a year either. He's ever here with his holy word, his holy sacraments, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. It's true. You get it again today, the forgiveness of your sins. Believe it. We love Mary. We love the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, and we all love dear Joseph. They're all part of our heavenly family. We worship with them this coming today, and we worship with them this coming Friday evening, Christmas Eve, and next Saturday, Christmas Day. Come, worship with all the angels and saints of old and all the people. What a great dream God gives to Joseph. It's our dream too. It's our Christmas dream. It's a dream to be trusted. A dream that will cause us trouble. It's a dream that's come true. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us stand.